All right, everyone, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. Fine. Thank you.
Good. I'm fine. Thank you for coming to the class. This is going to be the Tokun Seminar number 2. And in this lesson, as we've done in the past, we're going to answer and practice questions. And one of the first things I like to do when I start a new lesson with new students is to go over the examination criteria. And that's in this textbook, it's just before page number 1. And some of you have heard this many times, but it's good to review this because there are these 6 criteria that the interviewers will look for, they will listen for. I'll briefly go over these, but the first important thing to mention is all of these are important. And what I mean by that is you have to pass all of these 6 criteria. You can't get 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 6. You must be able to pass successfully all of these criteria. So many times students ask me, what is the most important thing? Is it grammar? Is it pronunciation? And really there isn't anything that is more important. All of these are balanced so that you have a full, you know, and complete ability to answer questions as a guide. So again, just all of these must be correctly answered so that they're satisfactorily answered so that the, you know, then you can pass the test. So the first criteria is listening comprehension. And this is, you know, basically they will ask you a question and you answer the question. Now, if you don't understand the question, you're in trouble. So what do? You ask them again, you know, I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, I want to know what you asked. For example, if they ask you, you know, why do Japanese like cherry blossoms? You go, do you want to know why Japanese like cherry blossoms? And then they go, yes, okay. So you confirm with them, it's okay. It's better than to answer, you know, why do Japanese like cherry blossom? And your answer, oh, Mount Fuji is the highest mountain, right? So you don't want to answer something that's not totally different. So if you're not sure, ask them. That's the safest way. It's better to ask than pretend like, I know. And you answer something that's not there. So they will make sure if you understand or not. Now, if you're having a lot of trouble, what's that, I don't understand, then, you know, again, your understanding, listening comprehension might not be very good. But just a few things just to confirm is fine, okay? Probably you will understand the questions. So that's the first thing. The next thing is a speaking ability. And this has, element of your presentation. So when you speak, you have to speak in a loud voice. But you have to speak in a voice that is natural and can be heard. And many times when students are nervous, you get really quiet, and, you know. And many times when you don't have confidence, you talk real quietly. Right, you talk quietly. So that's what they look for. Do you sound natural? Do you talk in a normal voice that people can hear you? Do you look at the guide, the interviewers? That's also part of speaking ability. When you look at the interviewers, so even though there's probably three people in the room, look at all three. Don't just look at the person that asked the question. And even though they might not be looking at you, just continue to look at them. And another thing, of course, don't look at the sky. You know, how high is Mount Fuji? Oh, it's not written on the ceiling, right? You look at them, it's 3,776 meters high. So you have to look at them. Don't look at your answer. It's not there. So that's part of your speaking ability. And, you know, that's just a very normal thing that they will look at. Next is pronunciation and grammar. Okay, for grammar, I'm here to help you. And one of the ways I help you is to fix your answers, to correct your answers. And in order for me to correct your answers, you really should write your answers every week before you come here. And the reason I say that, and people who have, you know, other students from experience know that if you have an answer that is incorrect, you are going to memorize an answer that is incorrect, right? So you don't want to be memorizing something that's incorrect or bad grammar. So I will fix your grammar as you go. And so it's very important you practice and that you write your answers down in advance. So that way I say, oh, could you repeat that again? Let me check to make sure. Let me do this. And then I can fix your answer. Once the answer is set, then you have a good answer to memorize. It makes your study much easier. Okay, we'll go to pronunciation. I go to that now. But pronunciation is one of the things they look for. And if you're trying to say very difficult words, it doesn't look good if you cannot pronounce them. One of the examples I come across often is archipelago, right? This Japan, the Japanese archipelago, people have trouble. So if you don't like that word, don't say it. You don't even need to say the Japanese archipelago stretches from north to south. Just say, Japan stretches north to south. So change the words that you have trouble saying. And yes, as a student, it's nice to know the words, nice to pronounce it, but at the guide test, you have to sound very professional. So using very simple words sometimes works best because your answer sounds simple, it sounds very clear. You know, some of the other words I think people have trouble with are, majestic or, magnificent and these types of big words. You don't have to say that. Just say, Fujisan is beautiful. Very simple words like that are easy to say. So that's my tactic, is to have you use words that are easy to say, junior high school words. Use junior high school grammar. There is very helpful, something like that, to make your answers easy. There is da-da-da-da, rather than some other complicated way. Next is the ability to respond to the questions asked. And this is probably the hardest one, because if you don't know what to answer, then you're really kind of in trouble. But one of the things you can answer indirectly is using personal experiences. Today one of the questions is, why are there so many, Buddhist temples in Kamakura? Well, I'm not sure why there's so many. They built lots of them, but when you go to Kamakura, there are many interesting temples, for example, the Great Buddha, these types of things, and they built them in the Kamakura period when Buddhism was introduced to Kamakura. You try to use your experience and say, yes, when I went to Kamakura, I always, I saw the Buddha, and I went to other temples, and so kind of, base anything you can on maybe your own experiences. That will also help. Making your answers personable, making it your own experience, your own answer helps. The next one is motivation and enthusiasm. And this is kind of related to your speaking ability. You want to smile, you want to look happy. Even though you're very nervous, you have to look happy. You have to look like a nice tour guide. You have to be friendly, and don't be a statue, don't be a robot, right? Look natural, talk natural, use your hands a little bit, don't overdo it, but just use your hands a little bit, and look like you're happy to do this. I know that nobody likes tests, but you have to look like a nice tour guide. And oftentimes, I have students who have wonderful answers, but their presentation skills need to be improved. And it's hard, to practice that, but, put on a smile, look happy, when they ask you a question, what is yakitori? It's chicken, So, you don't want to answer like that, you know what I mean. So that's what this is about, your motivation, enthusiasm. Oh, yakitori, that's, grilled chicken. Oh, people like yakitori, because we did with beer and things. So, look happy, look like you're enjoying yourself. Last one is aptitude for a tour guide in terms of impression and hospitality. And what this is really a lot of your content. What are you saying? Is it correct information? Is it misinformation? Even though your grammar and pronunciation is perfect, you might give misinformation. Shibuya is in Osaka. Well, the grammar's fine, the pronunciation's fine, but the information is not correct. Shibuya is not in Osaka, right? So they look for content. And another thing about this number six is, don't make the tourist ask questions more. In other words, my example I usually give here is that, where can I buy souvenirs? Where can I buy Japanese souvenirs? Asakusa. Okay, well, that's nice. So then the tourist has says, well, where is the Asakusa? Oh, well, I know you can go by Ginza line, go to the end of the line. Well, what can I buy? Oh, you can buy folding fans and chopsticks and dolls. Oh, but, well, I don't know if I can go to a Asakusa. Is there someplace else? Oh, well, you can go to the department store. Oh, where's the department store? So, again, don't make them ask questions. Your good answer is, oh, you can go to one place is Asakusa, and there's a famous temple there, and it's very nice, but they also have a shopping street with lots of souvenirs, and they sell folding fans and paper dolls and these little chopsticks. But if you can't go to Asakusa, you can go to any department store, and there's lots of department stores, some in Shinjuku and in Ginza and Ikebukuro and Shibuya. There's lots of department stores. And also, there's a shop in Harajuku called Oriental Bazaar that sells souvenirs only. And you can go there if you have a chance. It's near Meiji Shrine. So maybe you could do Meiji Shrine and go there also. So there's many choices for you to buy souvenirs. Oh, okay. That they don't have to ask you lots of questions. So that's part of this impression and hospitality. Answer in a nice answer so that they don't have to ask you again and again, you know, where to go. Okay. One of the last things, I just looking at my notes here again, one of the easiest ways to make your answers sound professional is to really try and practice pronunciation of TH. Okay, and you put your tongue between your teeth. Right? Easy to say, but many times people kind of become lazy, you know. And one of the first things, if you say, you know, why do Japanese like cherry blossom? I think, right? The first impression that comes out of your mouth will be very lasting to the interviewers. So say these things correctly. So, oh, I think she said it correctly. It just sounds natural. So, you know, that's one of the things that you could raise your level just by being careful with pronunciation. Okay? All right, so let's go to lesson one. Today's lesson deals with education and a religion. And what I'd like to do then is start. The first question is, why do Japanese children go to cram schools? And one of the things in this book, if you notice, there are numbers, well, years. It's 2009, if you look at question one. 2009, after there's, it's in parentheses, these, you know, brackets. And it says 2009. That means they asked this question in the 2009 interview. So not all of these questions were asked recently, but some of them have, 2009, 2008. So some of these questions they repeat also. Many times they ask the same questions year after year after year. Same question. So just because they asked it this year doesn't mean they won't ask it again next year. Okay, I will let you start. One of the things I do also is to give you pointers about maybe more spoken English. Many times the model answers are good answers, but they're like from a textbook. People don't speak this way. They write it. Just like in Japanese, you speak differently than you write. Sometimes it's nicer to make it sound more like a conversational English rather than the spoken, rather than the textbook English. So, So we'll start, and I think you're going to begin, right? So why do Japanese children go to cram schools?
Can I start?
Sure.
Most cram schools appeal to parents by saying, our school produced so many students who entered such and such famous junior high or senior high, which graduates entered Tokyo University in such and such high percentage. Parents do want their children to lead a happy, successful, and prosperous lives, which means ultimately entering Tokyo University or Keio University or such famous universities and colleges. Especially Tokyo University alumni occupy important positions within the Japanese establishment in the judicial, political, and bureaucratic worlds, and the top of leading Japanese companies. For this reason, parents and their children their children to cram schools, and their children too willingly attend such cram schools. words.
Okay, that's pretty good. I think pronunciation, everything is good. I think you just need to say that in order to enter, I don't know if I caught that, but in order to enter, for example, Tokyo University, students need to study more than just in normal high school or junior high. Yeah, so I would add that. And right. And one of the things when we do when you're in a class, sometimes people think, oh, I'd love a private lesson, but it's only one-on-one person. Actually, with a group of people, you learn from other people's answers, and it's very helpful to listen to other people's answers. You can add that, and that would help. But in your answer, just say they go to cram schools because in order to pass difficult examinations,
I'm pointing at social structure.
Right,
that's
okay.
That's what I mean.
Right, all right. But just the idea, you need to connect that in order to go to Tokyo University, they need to study more than just in high school or more than just in public school. Yeah,
okay.
That would just add that little bit. It would
all
make
right.
your answer good, okay?
Thank you.
All right, what is your answer? Why do Japanese children go to cram schools?
In Japan, graduation from our prestigious university is highly desirable because it's believed to ensure good career and high social status.
Okay.
And parents often send their children to cram schools studying at a very young age.
Okay.
And they hope to give their children every possible advantages in their intense competition for entrance examinations to the best junior high school and universities.
Okay, best possible advantage.
Advantage, every possible advantage.
Yeah, okay, so that's good. Right, all right, that sounds good. Again, make it smoother. I know that you've kind of memorized it for today and practice some more so it sounds smoother. But the content, I think, is fine, and I think, you know, the grammar sounds good. Okay, all right. All right. Why do Japanese children go to cram school so much?
In Japan, academic background is regarded as a very important factor in their lives. If they graduate prestigious universities, their future is guaranteed to a great degree. So the parents are very enthusiastic to let their children let the children provide. No.
To have their, maybe, I don't know, just.
Let their children learn in the cram school.
Oh, okay.
In order to let them pass the entrance exams of the famous junior high schools, and then universities. The parents know education in the public or private schools are not a satisfied level to pass these famous universities. That is why the cram schools are very prosperous.
Okay, good. All right, that's good. I think there's a few things. The first part, you said something about in their lives. Yeah, that's fine. What is the first sentence? Do you have people in the sentence? Or what was your sentence?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. In their lives. Or whose life? So,
In the people's life or people's lives.
Yeah.
Students' future's lives.
Yeah. What is the first sentence? Did you have that there written?
In Japan, academic background is regarded as a very important factor in their lives.
Oh, yeah, in people's lives.
People's lives.
Yeah, so, or students' lives or something. Yes. People's lives is fine.
I noticed that.
Yeah, okay, good, all right. And what was the other thing you said? It's not satisfied level. Is that the level? You had satisfied. It should be satisfactory. So the level is not satisfactory.
Oh, okay.
About the public heist, public, did you say? What was that, public schools or private?
Public and private.
School's level of education is not satisfactory.
Satisfactory.
To pass these universities' exams.
Pass these universities' exams.
Yeah, exams. Good, and I think that will work well. Okay, let's try it again. How about you? What is, that's fine, thank you. Why do Japanese students or go to cram schools?
Okay. You know that you pass the entrance examination to junior high and high schools. Japanese students usually go to cram schools to take lessons in addition to their regular school works.
In addition to the regular school
work.
Work, okay, sure.
School work. The entrance examination to top school is so competitive and so difficult that students must extra study. In addition, Japanese government had employed yutori kyoiku, or relaxed education, for several years. Parents think the curriculum of regular school work is not enough, so they take their children to cram school.
Okay, good. What do you think about this relaxed education system?
I think it's not good. When I was a child, this relaxed education system started. And when I was a child, I was happy because I can rest on Saturday also. Mm. But we have to study more to enter the good university, so it's not a good system.
Well, yeah, okay. I agree with your point, yeah. You know, me coming from America, I can't believe to go to school on Saturday, right? It's just never been part of our culture to go to school on Saturday. So everybody blames the system, and it's true, because why? They changed to the yutori kyoiku, but they never changed the examinations, or they didn't, right? So it doesn't match. Do you see what I mean? If they made the university exams less competitive or easier or did something to match the less amount of time they spend in school, change the exams to a different style, maybe it might match, but it doesn't match. They changed the education system, but they didn't change the examination system or the belief that you have to aim for todai. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just, you know, to me, I think students also are blamed. They need to just study more, even though the school doesn't let them, you know, like you say, take off Saturday. They don't go to school, but they should study and do things. So, of course, this is where the cram schools come in, right? But, yeah, there's a lot of criticism of the relaxed education system. Yeah. But I think the whole system, including the examination part, needs to be reviewed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my opinion. But I'm not answering the guide test, so okay. Let's go out and try. Is everybody okay with this cram school answer? Does anything you want to check? Okay, I think we have the idea. Just make sure that, you know, the idea that the regular education system, the regular education program in high school, junior highs, are not enough for children to pass prestigious universities, prestigious schools, exams. That's all. That's why they go to cram schools. Another thing this one they asked in 2009 is, why do children go to cram schools? In the past, they've asked, why do children go to juku? If they use the Japanese word in the question, then you can use the Japanese word in your answer. You know, you don't have to say, you know, wazato, cram schools. Why? Because people have trouble and they end up with clam schools, like kai no gakko, right? C-L-A-M and C-R-A-M is different. So why say something difficult to pronounce? If they're saying juku in the question, say juku in your answer, and it's much easier for you. Okay? Good. Let's go to question two. And this one says, what are Japanese schools like? Okay, and in this answer here is actually, it's very good. One of the problems, I think, though, it's they have the years in parentheses. For example, in Japan, elementary school, 6 years, and junior high school, 3 years, are compulsory for all students. It kind of works, but you might want to change just the sentence structure And I would just say, put something like elementary school and junior high schools are compulsory. Elementary school is 6 years, junior high school is 3, high school is 3, and colleges are usually 4. So I've kind of separated both everything and put it there. That's how I would answer. I think it's a little, maybe a little clearer, right? Because the college years are not given here. So usually 4. Then there's some people mentioned, depending on the major, if you're going to be a doctor, it takes 6, 7, 8 years maybe. So anyway, that's how I would kind of maybe restructure this. So, and other students have said, we have a, what is it? 6-3-3-4 system. And I go, what's 6, what's 3, what's 4? So that to me is not also very clear. So, you know, just specifically say, you know, junior high school is 3 years. High school is 4 years. 3 years, something. So it's very clear, just a very simple junior high school level English, but it's very clear. Okay? It looks like, did you have a 3? Did you have a 6-3-3-4?
Actually, I...
yeah, I've heard that before. I know it was used before, but it's not really... When I first heard that, it just wasn't clear. So anyway, you try, and then maybe other people might have different answers you can maybe fix. But what are Japanese schools like?
In Japan, elementary school children go to... in Japan, elementary school children go to elementary schools for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Then children go to junior high schools for 3 years. And both of elementary schools and junior high schools are compulsory.
Okay.
And then most of the junior high school students go to high schools for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And about half of high school graduates go to universities for 4 years, or junior colleges for 2 years, or vocational schools for more than 1 year. Mm-hmm. Then okay. Some university graduates continue to study at graduate schools for 2 years and professional schools.
Good. That sounds fine. That was very clear. Yeah, you did a real good job changing at the last minute, I think, right? That sounds real clear. Again, probably rewrite your question like, rewrite your answer like your answer now. It sounds really good. It's very clear. Okay, good. Your turn. How about your answer for what are Japanese schools like?
Are you asking about the structure of Japanese school, or is it the atmosphere of Japanese school?
You know, that's a good question, because I'm sure someone's going to say, well, there are school buildings and some are 2 floors and, you know, children sometimes have to wash the floors and, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things you can say. What did, you know, I know I think they probably want to know how many years students study and about the compulsory education.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the atmosphere also, like, in America, students don't clean, but I think in Japan, elementary school, don't they clean the hallways now or they stop that? Do still children still clean the school?
I think they still do that.
They still do that. Yeah, in America, kids don't do that. But anyway, so there's some things like that you could even say. Even, you know, and school lunches are provided, right? Aren't the public school is mandatory? School lunches are provided, right? And so, but parents have to pay, but some parents don't pay, and you know, there's a problem. So don't, maybe don't have to say that. But it, yeah, let me see what your answer is. What did you answer?
I answered... Japanese schools are quite restricted and have lots of rules compared to Western countries.
Okay.
For example, most of elementary school students carry a common bag to school, which is called randoseru, which is like a backpack.
Okay.
And also many junior high schools and high schools tell their students to wear school uniforms with tons of rules about how to wear it. So maybe from people from Western countries, it might... They might feel that Japanese schools are quite restricted.
Okay, that's a very interesting angle. I think it's fine. You could, maybe in the guide test, they're expecting something like this. So I think your answer is fine. If you just make another sentence and, you know, elementary school and junior high school are compulsory, and, you know, elementary school is 6 years, junior high school are 3, and college is 4. Something like that, to add this, because sometimes in the guide test, they expect to hear certain things as your answer. And they might not be expecting yours, although I think it's good. Sometimes you need to give a standard answer also. So just add that and it would sound great. Okay, good. How about your turn for this one? What is Japanese schools like?
Since World War II, Japan has had 6-3-3-4 school system. And elementary school is 6 years. Junior high school is 3 years. And all elementary and junior high school is compulsory for,
are compulsory
for all students. And later, the students usually go to high schools, which offer various curricula, including academic and commercial and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, most of the high school graduates go to universities, and that some of the students also go to junior colleges.
Okay, good. All right, now you'd had the four, was it 6-3-3-4? See, what I'm saying, I don't know what this is. Is there, there's six schools, you know, six students, 6 years. So we're not, I'm not sure what that 6-3-3-4 system is. What are we talking about? Six school buildings, three school buildings? It's what I'm saying, you know, obviously you're talking about years, but it's not clear in the answer. If somebody asked this and never knew about any of the school system, they probably wouldn't know what you mean by 6-3-3-4. So that's why I tend not to say that, because you could say they have a school year, they have a, the system of, like you said, 6-3-3-4. These are the number of years they go to elementary school, junior high school, and college. Something to clarify that these 6-3-3-4 are years. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Just if you clarify that, it's okay. But
okay.
What I'm saying is, if you just hear we have a 6-3-3-4 system, I go, oh, what are these numbers?
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
But that sounds fine. Good. All right, how about for you next? Let's have her answer the same question. Can you tell me, what are Japanese schools like?
Since the end of World War II, Japan has had a 6-3-3-4 standard school system. Elementary, junior high, senior high, and college or university.
Mm.
Up to junior high, that is for 9 years, compulsory. Compulsory education. The remaining 7 years, that is 3 years in high school and 4 years in college, which level have entrance examinations to determine eligibility to enrollment. And the students studying medicine may have to go to extra 2 hours after finishing university.
Two years.
2 years.
Uh-huh.
So a total of 6 years.
Right. Okay. All right. All right, again. So, again, clarify this 6-3-3-4, okay?
I said immediately after that, elementary, junior high, senior high, or and college or university, respectively. I didn't say respectively.
Well, okay. All right. Think about the answer and if they can understand it. Again, what I'm saying is 6-3-3-4 years. You need to put years in there because
years.
I can't... I know because I know the system, and I just don't know what the numbers are. We have a system of school years, 6, 3, 3, and 4. Then it works.
We have a book. This book, this school book says this. This is a model answer.
Okay, fine. Then memorize.
I should say 6, 3, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, years makes it more clear. Yeah.
School system.
Uh huh. Because this book is really a guideline, you know.
Right.
So it's, you know, make the answer so it's comfortable for you.
Huh.
Okay, but I'm trying to help and make it a little clear so at the guide test.
Years.
Yeah, years
numbers.
Works better. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Good? Okay. Let's go to what is Yobiko? Okay, tell me what is Yobiko.
My answer is exactly the same one.
Really? Okay. Yeah, this one, this answer here, I think, is okay. The only thing on line number three, they have upon graduation, which is maybe more literary. It's not spoken, but after graduation. That's all. But this answer here is fine. I think it's clear, and it's not too difficult. So, okay, let's try.
Yobiko is a preparatory school where students study for entrance examinations to universities. Students who have failed to pass the examinations after graduation from a high school often enter these kind of schools in preparation for another try in the following year.
Hmm. Okay. What is Ronin?
Ronin is literally means, originally, Ronin means the lordless samurai or
wandering samurai.
Wandering samurai. Okay. And there is no wandering samurai, but today, the word of Ronin is used for the students who have failed to pass the examination of the first year and after graduation from a high school, and they often enter to their Yobiko preparatory school in another attempt for their following year.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Maybe you don't. Yeah, if you're having trouble, you don't even need to mention the wandering samurai. Just say, oh, nowadays, you know, Ronin means, you know, a person who has failed the college entrance examinations and is trying to pass the next year. That's all. Something simple like that, right? They're kind of. And sometimes people do what? Many times, right? Not just the first year after, isn't it really? Technically, it's not. Is it the first year? There's some people, Ichinido, right? So it's just people who have failed to pass college entrance examinations and are still preparing to try for another time. And sometimes students fail one or two times, and so they are donating for two or three years, maybe, depending on what they're trying to do. Okay? So they could ask, what is that? But yeah, the original one is a wandering samurai who had no lord, right? Okay, good. Let's go on to his answer. What is Yobiko?
Okay, just before that.
Okay.
Can I have, I have a question.
Sure.
In the Q2, can I say Japanese school system consists of primary school of 6 years?
Yes.
I can say that. Okay, good.
Primary school is a junior high school of. Primary school of 6 years. It's okay, I think. Primary school that is 6 years.
That is 6 years. Mm. It's better.
It sounds better. Yeah, primary school that is 6 years. Elementary school that is 6 years. Junior high school that is. You put that is, it gets long, you know. Primary school, 4, 6 years.
4, 6 years.
4, 6 years also works. So okay. Of, for, or that is. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Okay, Yobiko is a preparatory school for high school students and also high school graduate who failed to pass the university exam and are trying to pass the exam in the following year.
Okay.
The competition for the famous universities are very keen and hard.
Did you say competition?
Competition the famous universities.
Did you say competition?
Competition.
Oh, okay. Yeah, competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's keen and hard. So, in Yobiko, teachers are professional in teaching such kind of people, students, and also they have teachers have technologies and techniques and. Know-how to pass, to let them pass
right, okay,
exam.
Yeah. To help them pass the exam.
Yeah.
Right, that's another point that wasn't brought up. But yeah, one of the reasons for cram schools also and Yobiko is they teach the techniques for passing the test, right? And high schools don't teach that technique. They just teach the information, but not how to pass the test, right? Good. Let me ask you the same thing. What is Yobiko?
Well, basically, there are two types of Yobiko. One is a preparatory school where students study for entrance examinations to universities. High school students or students who have failed to pass the entrance examinations after graduation from high school often enter this school in preparation for and they try to in the following year.
Okay.
The other one is also preparatory school, but not to universities, to get the certifications for job, such as a tour guide and a lawyer and pharmacist and nurse.
I'm laughing, why? Because this is Yobiko, kind of, right? Yeah, that's true. Yobiko are also for, that's a good point. Yobiko are also schools that prepare students to pass certification exams, right? Certification exams.
Certification
exams. Exams, yeah. So again, this school is actually like a Yobiko for the guide test, right? So a preparatory school to help people pass, you know, certification exams. Mm-hmm. Right, good. Okay, one more time. What is Yobiko?
Yobiko is a preparatory school where high school graduates study. High school graduates who failed the entrance examinations of the universities and after graduation, and wait for another year to take the next examination in the following year.
Okay.
And also high school students also go to preparatory school to study extra hours in order to pass the competitive examinations of universities.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's fine. I think everything works. Yeah. Okay, let's try the next question. And what is the difference between hiragana and katakana? And just a few pointers in the guide, in the model answer, is the word cursive, hiragana or cursive phonetic characters. Cursive is not a word that most people will know, so you might want to think of it, but hiragana or round, or hiragana or more, you know, round phonetic characters. And katakana are, you know, square-shaped. Maybe shaped. So hiragana are round phonetic characters, hiragana round-shaped phonetic characters, and katakana are square-shaped characters. Not everything, but they have, you know, angular is, again, used, and it's not incorrect, it's just not as easy to picture in my mind. Now, if you want to say this, it's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But most people would not know what does angular mean. But it means like square shape, then they get an idea what it means. Okay? And there's other things you can mention about this. Let's see what your answers are. I have other information we can talk about. Because four and five are kind of related. So maybe you can borrow from each other the same information, kind of use it together for questions 4 and 5. What is the difference between hiragana and katakana?
Hiragana is a round-shaped character which was invented in the 8th century from Chinese characters, mainly for the women to use.
Okay.
These days, it is used together with Chinese characters to express Japanese. And katakana, on the other hand, is a square-shaped character, and it is mainly used to express foreign words.
Good. Can you say square-shaped characters? Do you have a plural? Characters?
Square-shaped characters.
Yeah. Good. Okay, I'll listen to a few more answers. I just want to add a few things, but it's also the same thing I would put for the number five kanji. But that's fine. It's a very simple answer. They might ask you some other follow-up question, which I will ask later if nobody says it. But that's fine. Good. Let's try what are the differences between hiragana and katakana?
Hiragana are round-shaped phonetic characters simplified from kanji, and they are used in combination with kanji. Then, on the other hand, katakana are angular-shaped, square-shaped phonetic characters simplified from kanji. They are mainly used for writing foreign words.
Okay, good. In this answer, too, I think nowadays they're using the term foreign words instead of foreign loan words. Have any of you seen the foreign loan words? It's kind of an old expression now. It's not used as much as just foreign words. Okay? Okay, can I ask you a question? Hiragana are mainly used in combination with kanji. How are they used in combination? How are hiragana used in combination with kanji? Why do you do that?
Hiragana is main. Hiragana represents Japanese syllables.
Mm-hmm.
And kanji is used for presents a content of words.
Does anybody know? What do you use to write hiragana and kanji? What kinds of words do you write?
For instance.
Uh-huh.
Calm or quiet. Shizuka na basho. Shizuka. The shizuka is the one word Chinese character.
Yeah.
And na is hiragana.
Right. And what is shizuka na?
Shizuka na.
Is what type of word is that?
Shizuka. That's kanji.
Now, what is it? Does everybody? If you look at adjective,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, right.
That's right.
Right.
Adjective.
Right. So, hiragana and kanji are used together to make adjectives, verbs,
adverbs,
and adverbs.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you, and so going on to the next question, they have about root elements. Does anyone know what that means? The kanji is the root. So, if you have the character, what is it, the kanji for like iku, no, yoko no ko, iku. That character is the root, but by adding hiragana, you could put iku, ikimasu type of thing, or, you know, that. Yeah, or the word aka is the red, that's the kanji part, but if you put ai, akai becomes adjective, akaku becomes adverb. But the root is the kanji. Sometimes. So that's good, yeah. Okay. Anyway, do you want to just go to the basic question? And that is, what is the difference between hiragana and katakana?
Same as.
That's fine, you can practice,
okay.
Sure.
All right. Hiragana are cursive or round shaped phonetic characters simplified from kanji.
Okay.
They are mainly used in combination with kanji. Do I have to explain about that?
If you want, that's your answer, if you're comfortable.
I'll continue. On the other hand, katakana are angular or square-shaped phonetic characters simplified from kanji. They are mainly used for writing foreign loan words.
Okay, sure, good. So you don't have to say, but everybody think in your mind then, because in this question, in this answer, they say, how are kanji used in combination with hiragana? And you say, they're used to make verbs, adjectives, and adverbs?
Or so that's all.
Yeah. Right, so just know the information.
Plus conjugation.
Right. Okay, good. How about your answer for what is the difference between hiragana and katakana?
Hiragana
Hiragana and katakana consists of 46 syllables, respectively, and all simplified kanji. The most distinguishing difference is that...
The most distinctive difference is that
hiragana are more round, while katakana are more square-shaped. And katakana is mainly used to write foreign loan words.
And hiragana is used?
Hiragana are used in the combination of kanji. And the kanji is the root. And if you want to change the words to adjective, so you use the hiragana after the kanji.
Okay, sure, that fits. Fine, good. Yeah, all right. Let's go on to what is kanji.
What is kanji?
Yeah.
Kanji are the Chinese ideographs. Which were introduced to Japan in the 3rd or 4th century. 600 or 700 years later, hiragana and katakana were created and developed, simplifying kanji.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And since then, we have been using kanji in combination with hiragana and katakana. And the kanji are used as a root of verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. Yeah, adverbs. And the hiragana are complementary one for these words, these verbs and adjective.
Okay, good. In this answer, again, they just to point out, they use ideographs, which is not as common as characters. So I think the word characters may be easier to pronounce, ideographs or characters. Most people say characters. Just, you know, probably 95% of everybody says, what is kanji? Kanji is Chinese characters.
Okay?
So just, you know, whatever you're comfortable with, I think the most common is characters. So kanji are Chinese characters.
Okay. And can I say it's not phonetic?
Yes, that's fine. It's
phonetic,
not phonetic.
Character.
Right. You can say it's not phonetic. You cannot read because you don't know the sound. It has a meaning rather than a sound.
Meaning, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's meaning, can I say meaning character instead of ideographic character?
No.
No.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
A meaning character. Character with meaning, maybe.
Ah, character with meaning.
Yeah, but I think that becomes a little complicated. So just say, you know, Chinese, again, kanji are Chinese characters.
Oh, okay. It's
easy. That's just really simple. Okay. How many kanji do people need to know, or how many kanji should people know when they graduate high school?
Oh. It's a difficult question. Maybe 5,000 something?
Oh, he's really strict. Isn't that too many?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's too many. I think that's too many.
But not 500.
No, 500 is too low. Does anybody know? You know? She knows. What is?
There are 1,945 characters that are necessary to learn until graduation from high school. And 1,006 kanji. Mastered in elementary school.
At the elementary and junior high?
Mastered in only elementary school.
That's only elementary. Okay, 1,006 is elementary. Okay.
And 939 kanji in junior high and high school.
Okay.
in total in 1945.
Okay. What is the number 2,141? Does that mean anything? Is that college? Does anybody know? I'll have to check this better. Somebody told me they need to know 2,141. And I didn't think it was that high, but it's around 2,000, right?
Yeah, around 2,000.
Yeah, to graduate high school, still students should know 2,000, around 2,000. Let me check. Is it
2,000? Maybe it's for Joyo Kanji. We call it Joyo Kanji.
Yeah, there's a Joyo Kanji.
I'm not so sure.
Is that Joyo Kanji? I'll check better.
You have to know as common sense.
Yeah, the Joyo, right? The, like practical Joyo. Knowledge. Okay. I'll check this out. But yeah, I know there's something like that. But they could ask you, you know, how many kanji do people know? And I heard to be really educated, you need to know at least 3,500. To read newspapers and things, you should know 3,500. Okay, good. Let's go to the next person. And then let's just practice. What is kanji?
Kanji are the Chinese characters on which the Japanese writing system is based. Kanji were exported from China to Japan around the 5th century through 6th century. Each kanji has its own meaning, and it's used for writing content words and root elements.
Okay, what are content words? Does anybody know? Yeah, this is a thing that people kind of ask it. What I mean when you think of kanji. Now, what I put my answer is this. Let me. Sometimes I read my answer. I put it, kanji are Chinese characters, which form the basis of the Japanese writing system. Kanji, or combinations of kanji, form concepts, actions, and states. Kanji are also the roots of verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. Kanji are used in combination with kana, which are phonetic characters, in order to write Japanese. So the combinations of kanji, right? So do you know what I mean by that? This jukugo or something like that. Isn't there things you have kanji all together? And they make sometimes concepts or actions or states like ryoko or kakunin. So the combination is a state or a situation, an action, ryoko, kakunin, a concept. But when you put a suru, when you put the Japanese hiragana, it makes it into a verb also. So that's why the hiragana is used to make verbs from the Chinese combinations, and the root is the kanji. Okay? How about one more time? You want to practice what is kanji? Romaji is really easy. We'll take that and do a break. But what is kanji? One more time.
Kanji are Chinese characters introduced from China in the 6th century. And we have about 2,000 kanji in everyday use among 50,000 Chinese characters in total. And kanji means a concept. Kanji means concept, actions, and states. And kanji itself becomes a noun. But by adding hiragana, it makes verbs, adjectives, and...
Adverbs?
Adverbs.
Yeah. Good, right. So kanji itself is usually a noun, right? Like she said. Uh-huh. Good. All right, let's quickly go to romaji. What is your answer for romaji?
Romaji are alphabets used to write Japanese words. They are used to teach Japanese as a second language or to teach alphabet to Japanese children. For example, the word cat is spelled C-A-T in English with alphabets, but if you use romaji, it would be spelled K-Y-A-T-T.
K-Y-A-T-E?
T-T.
T-T. Ah, okay. Okay. Say that last sentence again. It's interesting. If you cat is spelled in Romaji or in English, is that what you mean or what?
For example, the word cat is spelled C-A-T in English with alphabets. But if you use Romaji, it would be spelled K-Y-A-T-T.
Hmm. Cat, though. Yeah, okay. That's fine. It's interesting. That's fine. I just think... Okay, the Romaji... let's see. Could you say the first sentence again, though? It's about the alphabet or letters. I want to make sure it works. Can
Romaji
you say that?
Romaji are alphabets used to write Japanese words.
Yeah, I would put Roman... See, this guide answer here is really good. They're Roman letters, not alphabets, but kanji... are Roman letters used to write Japanese words? This is a really simple, good answer, I think. Yeah, rather than alphabets, but letters. Roman letters used to write Japanese words. Okay, how about your answer? What is Romaji?
Romaji are Roman letters used to write Japanese words. They are often used in teaching Japanese words as a second language. And it is also used on goods as a t-shirt.
Such as t-shirt.
And shopping bags.
Okay. Anything else?
The Romaji is also used for writing Japanese names
on credit cards or something, right? Sure, all right. She's usually writing Japanese name on credit cards, passport. Usually they have a name in Roman letters, right? Good. Okay. Nothing wrong about this. The teaching as a second language, I think it's just clear, teaching foreigners. Teaching non-Japanese Japanese. So there's other ways you could say that also. So they're often used in teaching Japanese to foreigners. Yeah. It's just, I don't really know if that's very polite, but it's very clear rather than teaching as a second language. Both are okay, but I like just teaching Japanese to foreigners. It is used. Okay. How about one more time and we'll take a break? What is Romaji?
Romaji are Roman letters used to write Japanese words. They are often employed in teaching Japanese to non-Japanese as a second language and are often used as decoration on popular goods such as t-shirts and shopping bags.
Okay. What kind of Romaji are used? Do you know? Anybody? What are some of the kato? What are some of the things they put on? A lot of it's funny English. Some of the name, like Pikachu or something, maybe, I don't know. They put, you know, things like that. Maybe.
I saw many funny t-shirts. Oops or something.
Yeah, they're
all
kind
kinds of things.
Yeah, all kinds of
phrase
things.
Or anything.
Yeah, a lot of things. It's rather than sometimes Romaji itself, they're actually what, funny English? Lots of mistakes in English, but Romaji is like names of, you know, Donguri Club or something, right? Donguri Kurabu, you know, written in English. So. Okay, good. Let's go. We finished the education part. We'll come back to religion. This week's religion is actually more like tourism religion. Okay, because after following weeks, we have 4 weeks of religion asking about statues and zazen and things like that. Anyway, we'll take a break and come back.